All right. Thank you, Lord, for this awesome time tonight. Father, we just thank you and we praise you, Father, for getting everybody on that wants to get on and not going to have any trouble tonight. We bind up the enemy from interfering with our communication. And Lord, we ask that you get Jeanette and Leo on and help them get on, Lord. I know they have a little bit of a technical problem there, but Father, I ask and I pray that you get them on in Jesus' name. And Lord, I ask for your anointing for everybody on here tonight, that we're going to be led by your Holy Spirit in what we do. And so, Lord, we just ask that you guide us in the direction you want us to go in. Give us the words you want us to talk about. And Lord, I'm just going to thank you and bless you for giving us a fine meeting tonight, fine fellowship tonight. And we praise you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for an open heaven as well, because we know when we pray, things happen. And Father, we just praise you and glorify you. And thank you, Lord, for this Jubilee Holy Spirit falling out on everybody here in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that in the name of Jesus. All right. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Jubilee in the Spirit. Anybody want a Jubilee in the Spirit? Yes, amen. Lord, me too. I'll take 100 of them. Thank you, Lord. Hey, Missy. What's up, girl? Oh, you are. Go ahead. You want to say something?
Yeah. I just got done listening to Timothy Dixon's latest video, and he talked about Jubilee. Is that why you were saying that?
That's why I was saying it.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, I just got through listening to it.
Praise the Lord.
Me too.
Yeah, Jubilee in July, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, didn't he say he was referring to something in the scripture, and it was the seventh month and the 10th day? Or was that in his dream?
No, it was in scriptures. That's what he was talking
the
about.
Month and the 10th day is like Elul, I think.
That would be the Day of Atonement. Seventh month, 10th day in the Hebrew calendar would be the Day of Atonement.
Okay.
It's right before Tabernacles.
I thought so. I was thinking, I bet that. So somebody needs to inform him of that.
Well, let him go on. He's got the word Jubilee, right? Praise God. I want to see a Jubilee. Thank you, Lord. I believe we're fixing to see one, though. I believe we're fixing to see it pretty quick. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? How many of you would like to see a Jubilee? Amen. Me too.
Amen.
Some of you didn't raise your hand.
Amen.
We'll pray for y'all. Amen, Barbara. All right, anybody need a prayer? Need to pray about something? Freedom, yeah, thank you, Lord. Anybody got a praise report? Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
Now, I'm sorry, I was looking up a scripture, but I have a prayer request. What was, when you said, let me back up and punt here. We're talking about the seventh day, the seventh month of the 10th day. Is that what we were talking about there?
The seventh month. The 10th day of the seventh month.
So that dream that Claire brought up a couple, you know, a week ago, wasn't that in Ezra 3, and it was talking about the seventh month and the 10th day. So I was trying to look that up. So there's a connection there. Was that Ezra 6 or Ezra 3? Does anybody remember that?
I don't remember.
Hang up. Here it is. Ezra 3:6. From the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord. But the foundation of the temple of the Lord had not yet been laid. All right. So let me get to my prayer request. At work, there's a security guard that I have struck up a conversation of friendship with here for the last 2 or 3 months. I think a couple months he started working there. He's an older guy, a retired guy. And he has been giving me, every once in a while, giving me his lunch. Because he's a security guard and there they have to, when they come to do their security shift or whatever, once they start, they can't leave. You can't just leave and go to, you know, take off and go to lunch or something because you're there for a full straight 8-hour shift. So therefore, they bring them a lunch in. And so it's probably a month ago, every 2 or 3 times a week, I noticed he would bring his lunch over to me and give it to me. I thought, well, you know, don't you eat lunch? He said, no, I don't eat lunch. Well, today, and so I kind of struck up a conversation with him, and we're talking about the Lord, and he is, you can tell he's, you know, he's a church goer type of thing in the system. He's actually been witnessing to people as they're coming in the back door and whatever, and has received my conversations with him is that he's a little bit dejected, I guess, that nobody wants to hear what he's saying. Everybody is you know, I don't want to hear that type of routine. But I have been very encouraged at his overwhelming openness just to anybody that comes in that door. He'll, you know, scan them with their temperature and then ask them if they're a Christian. He nails them right on the door. I'm surprised that nobody has hassled him, you know, from Vanguard. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that. From the company that I'm working for. Anyway, so I struck up a conversation with him. We talk about the Lord. And so today he said, you know, I have to go in to get a checkup. I said, well, what's wrong? And he asked, you know, I can take all the prayer you got. And I said, well, what am I praying for? And he has ulcerous colitis or something like that. It's an ulcer of the colon. And it's been in remission for a long time, and it's stirred back up. And so he has to go back into the doctor and have it checked out, etc. Matter of fact, he was supposed to go in tonight or today after work. So I asked him, so what do you want me to pray for? And he kind of hem-hawed around a little bit, you know, and told me about rapture and whatever else. And I got back around and I said, well, so specifically, what do you want the Lord to do for you? And he said, and it was very vague in what he was asking for. He actually wasn't asking for healing. I said, well, I only know how to pray for healing from the Lord, but I mean, I can pray that for you if that's what you want. And he said, well, I can take all the prayer I can get, you know? So he wouldn't lock, it's like he wouldn't lock into it and actually say the word heal, but that's okay. So I said, can I bring your symptoms up in the prayer meeting tonight? We have a prayer meeting. Can I bring them up and so that we can all pray for you? And he said, well, yeah, I can use all the prayer I can get. So his name is, he's an older general. He's probably in his late 70s, mid 70s, not that matters or anything, but His name is Barry. I don't know his last name, but his first name is Barry, and I want to pray for him for ulcer, this colitis that he has. So I'd just like everyone to join with me. And my prayer is not only that the Lord would heal him, but just as important that the Lord would show him how to keep his healing, to open up his eyes to the truth of the gospel and remove the ground that the devil has that he's using in his life, that God would open up his eyes to the gospel is my prayer. But anyway, Father, I thank you for Barry's openness. Thank you for his openness and honesty, Lord, and able to share and request prayer, Lord. And so, Father, we just come against that colitis, that disease that he has. In the name of Jesus, we bind it right now in Jesus' name. We command that disease, the symptoms, to go in the name of Jesus Christ. We command healing based upon your word, Lord, that by your stripes he is healed. He has confessed your name. He is a child of God. You've drawn him into the fold, Lord. And so we thank you for that. We bind this spirit that is ministering, that is this disease upon him. In the name of Jesus, we bind you. We command you to leave him, to leave his body right now. We command light to shine into that, into Barry's mind and in his heart, that he can realize and sense the power of God working through him, that he can, that his mind will be tweaked to look and seek out the truth and the reality that he has already been healed. That healing is an absolute promise kept by the Lord Jesus Christ, who has his soul in the palm of his hand. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for shedding light into his heart and bringing down the darkness that binds him and that hinders him from grasping the full reality of your gospel. We thank you, Father, for his healing based upon your word. We thank you that no curse is upon us, and we pray that, and we desire and grab that and intercede for that for Barry, Lord, that you would open up his eyes and that you would apply that truth in his mind, in his heart. Give him faith to grasp on and hold on to this healing that you provided him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we hook our faith up with Pat, and we just consider it as done for Barry in Jesus' name. He's healed. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah.
Praise you. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. And we're going to look for the good report from Barry when he comes back to tell Pat. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Jim, go ahead. You got it? There you go.
This morning we got a phone call from our daughter. And all the time until about right around 8 o'clock, she called again. So it's going to be joint. It's starting out as a praise report, but the second part is a concern I have that I just received from her. Okay. Our daughter had been working for a substance abuse. He's a substance abuse doctor. And it's gotten to a point where she wanted out of the job. And it came to a head with coronavirus because this doctor was pushing his employees to get the vaccine, which she is against, thankfully. She has the understanding. So bottom line is she had worked temporarily, it was 3 years ago, mm-hmm. for an accounting firm during their tax season. And she really hated to go because she loved the job. She loved who she was working with. But it was just to be during the tax season that she'd work for them. Well, out of the clear blue, after she's been in prayer, we have with her for quite a while now, she received an email from that office asking for her to come in for a job interview, which she had today. And they actually offered her the job. So, I mean, I was just ecstatic all day. But she called after being released from work tonight, and she wanted my husband and I to know that she is taking on a job that she really needs training for. They're placing her in a position of being an office manager, where she's going to be doing conferences and Zooms and things that she's never done before. And she was told not to worry about it because the lady who she's going to be taking on the job from is, she's actually giving her 2 weeks notice. So the day that Holly, our daughter, comes in to take her place is actually the day that lady will not be present at the office. But this lady tells her, don't worry, because they don't know, the office people, but I have a whole week. You need me, you call me anytime. I'll even come to the office to help you. And I'm just praying that's going to be enough, because this job seems quite entailed. Mm-hmm. So the prayer is that she can handle this job, because it really is going to be a lot for her to do, including working for a while on Saturdays. Sometimes it's half day and sometimes it's a full day because it's still tax season, she said. I don't understand it myself, she said, but until May 17th, which is news to me.
this will be a stretch for her to be.
Well, she's a Christian, isn't she?
Yes, she is.
Okay, well, we're going to pray for Holly. Let me tell you a little story about Linda. Linda sat down in a factory, and the supervisor gave her a job that nobody ever did it. Never came and did all of the things that they were supposed to do. Not even half the shift. In the whole shift, they never could fill up the quota on this thing. And she just, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? You know, I can't do this. Nobody else has ever done it. So she went to the bathroom and she just cried out to the Lord. She came back, sat back down, and she backed up out of her body, and her body went to work. She finished that thing before lunch, when nobody had ever done it in the 8-hour shift. And all she had to do was sit back and watch. That's God. Now, we're going to pray that for Holly.
Yeah.
Lord, we just thank you that you're going to show Holly your power in her and her to have faith to believe that you're going to help her, Lord. Mm-hmm. And I believe it. Lord, and I thank you that you're going to give her supernatural wisdom to do this job. And we just praise you, Father, that you have anointed her to do this job. She's going to do it better than the lady did before her. And Father, we right off the get-go. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And Lord, I'm looking forward to the testimony that we get from her through her mom and dad in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Holly. We believe it. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Amen. Well, I'm going to look forward to that one. Yeah, go ahead.
First of all, thank you for that beautiful prayer. Second of all, to encourage everybody, I have a funny story to tell. Our younger daughter, when she was not walking with the Lord, had signed up to go to Romania. She signed up to go to Romania for 3 weeks. And she was to take care of babies that had been, an orphanage. These babies had been abandoned by their mothers. and they weren't even held and so forth, and they had to nourish them with that kind of physical contact, etc. So anyway, she was telling us that the group had decided they wanted to go to the Dracula home. And Ray and I were beside ourselves. We think, oh my God, you know, she could pick up God knows what kind of spirit. And we were so concerned. If she's an adult and she wasn't at the time having an understanding that she has today. So Ray and I are praying and praying, but you know, I have to say we were quite burdened. Well, after all that, we get, I don't know if it was a phone call or she wrote us, but she said that very day they were supposed to go on the trip, she got constipated. So she went into a little store and she bought a bag of raisins. And she said she was sitting there on the bus and she's eating these raisins, waiting for other people to come onto the bus. Well, it got to a point where she had to get off the bus, use the bathroom. And she said when she came back out, the bus had left without her. So she never got to see Dracula's house.
All right.
It was like an answer. Definitely, it was an answered prayer in a way that we would have never imagined.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You're an awesome God.
Yes.
Thank you, Father. All right. That is, that's hilarious. Thank you to Father for being our babysitters. All right. Anybody else? That's awesome. Yeah, Vanita.
Hello. Hey. We stopped to get pizza the other day, and the guy at the pizza place, we just started talking, and he had just had a stroke, he said, about 10 months ago, and his whole left side, he couldn't raise his arm, and his leg was dragging, and he was having a lot of trouble. But he's Chaldean, and we just started talking, and he's telling me about all the Chaldean Christians in India and everything. So told him we would pray for him for healing for his body. He's going to physical therapy right now. I think his name was Marino, I'm pretty sure. So if you could pray for him for me, I would appreciate that. Marino?
Manino?
Marino.
Marino. Okay. Marino. I got you. You see, he had a little stroke on himself. Okay, Lord, we lift up Marino to you. You said he was a Christian?
Yeah, he's Chaldean.
Okay. All right. We lift up Marino to you, Father, and we thank you, Lord, that you're going to show him something. You're going to show him something about what you are and who you are and how strong you are and how merciful and gracious you are, Lord. We ask and we pray right now that you just reach down and touch Marino. And I command the effects of that stroke to leave his body right now. In Jesus' name, I command that brain to function like it's supposed to. I command every muscle cell in his body to be healed. And I command that arm and side that has been affected to be healed in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that strength right now from your touch is entering into his body. And he's wondering what in the world is going on. Glory to God, it's God Almighty. And I praise you, Father, for Marino's complete healing and the testimony he's going to be screaming from the rooftops. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, that everybody in his family is going to wonder what in the world happened to this man. And he's going to tell him, well, Jesus happened to me. And we praise you, Father, for doing that for Marino. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Father, for your powerful touch on Marino and making a mighty man of faith out of him in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. I believe it. Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God, glory to God. Yes, I do. All right. Anything else? Amen. Yeah, Barbara.
Hi. Hi, I was at the store today, and the woman in front of me, she was checking out, and she had a whole lot. She was checking out with her friend, and all of a sudden, she, I guess she was having a seizure or something. She just started falling to her knees, and I just started praying for her. And my daughter, she was outside, like waiting out there, and she came in and she said, "Do you need?" She said, "I'm an EMS or EMT," and the woman said, "No, this woman behind me was praying for me. I'm healed. I'm fine." And Sarah says, "My daughter Sarah says that's my mom, you know." And so that woman, she so I went over and I asked her. Well, first I said, I did kind of say, you know, someone take that mask off her so that she can breathe, you know, and everyone just like jumped to take that mask off her. And someone went to get her some water. Yeah, because, you know, she's fallen down. And anyways, the Lord healed her. And she was really grateful. She touched my arm. She says, "Oh, the Lord, I send that blessing back to you," you know. And I said, "Well, the Lord healed you." And, you know, and I said, "Give him the glory." And she said, "Yes, amen." So I don't know if she was a Christian or not, but she responded very well. Yeah. Well, not only that, I was in the store earlier with, I heard two women talking about Jesus. And they're going back and forth. The woman's telling her, "Oh, yeah, you can't live this life without Jesus. You got to pray." And the other one says, "Yes, I know." And I come around the corner there, and I stopped. I looked at them, and, you know, I said, "Amen." And she says, "Oh." And I says, "Yeah, I love Jesus, too." And and then another woman behind me comes and says, she goes, "Me, too. I love Jesus, too." And the woman says, she goes, "Oh, look how the Lord sent us all together." It was just so neat, you know.
Wait, were y'all out on the street, Barbara?
Believers there like that. You know, that was... No,
were
we were in a store. We were at the dollar store.
All right. And, dollar store revival. Thank you, Jesus.
No.
All right. Amen. That's awesome.
Amen.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Our Lord is sweet. Praise God forevermore. That's good. Now, tomorrow, go at Walmart and go in there looking for somebody to heal. Put your hands on them, girl, and command it to come out, and you'll be called Barbara the Healer. Praise God. That's good, Barbara. Awesome. All right. Anybody else? That's a good testimony. I like them kind.
Hey, amen. I have a testimony, but I also would like to pray. My grandson's father last night had a, asthma. He had an asthma attack, and, his wife, Lisa, she contacted me on the phone, you know, texted me and was telling me about that. And, he had just come from the doctor, and the medicine that they had given him, I guess, was not working, and he was having a really bad asthma attack. And so I just prayed, text her with a prayer over the phone, and after a little while he started feeling better. And so I thank the Lord for healing him, but I just like to pray also that pray for him that if the enemy should try, you know, because this was a curse, this was a generational curse that had to be broken. And I did pray that too with her, but I'm praying that this doesn't happen again. And if he should have any kind of symptoms, that he would recognize that the enemy is under his feet, that this is a curse. He shouldn't have to deal with this at all, you know? So I'd like to pray about that to reinforce it. So Lord, I thank you for helping Bill last night to be able to get over this asthma attack. And I thank you, Father, you helped him to sleep. And I pray that he will not have any more asthma attacks. And if one tries to come on him, I pray, Father God, you would remind him to take it to you, to call upon your name and recognize that he is redeemed from any curses of the law. He's redeemed from any kind of generational curses, and that he can confess that and come against that and put Satan under his feet. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to give him that wisdom, and he's going to remember, and you're going to give him that wisdom, and that he will have your peace and your rest and your healing, that it won't come on him anymore, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anyone else? It's done, by the way, sir. All right. Anybody else? Okay. Hang on just a second here. I believe this was, I've got about a 6-minute video I want to play that somebody sent me. Who was that? Geneva? I think that was you, wasn't it?
Yeah, I emailed it to you. I think it was Wednesday morning. I don't know. I woke up and I just, thing I thought was this video. And I was like, I need to tell Michael because I think the outreach would like this.
Okay, we'll do it. We're going to do it. It's only about 6 minutes long, not quite 6 minutes long. So get the share stream going here.
To the place where
How many of you had somebody on your mind when you saw that? I did. And I know they're coming out of it. Praise God. That was good, Geneva. Thank you so much. I saw that some time back, maybe a few years ago. That's an awesome, awesome play. Yeah. Anybody got any comments? I don't want to let this out, Geneva. Don't tell nobody, but I cried last night when I saw that.
Oh, that's okay. Every time I watch it, I get tears in my eyes because it's just like, I was showed it when I was in seventh grade, and I remember it, I was just like, wow, like, I'm not very theatrical. I'm not into all that, you know, theater and stuff, but I was like, that was just such an awesome skit. Like, I love how Jesus stepped in, and then, you know, because it's so true, how he took all that, like, that's what he, you know, he bore that cross for our sins, and then how he just smashes them all dead, and I was like, man, praise the Lord. Yeah, it gets me every time, so.
It's an awesome play. Yeah. Amen. What's all this chat business going on here?
On the phone, I couldn't see anything, and the sound was, I didn't understand anything they were saying, but I'm just wondering if somebody going to post a link to the...
Yeah, I will.
Okay.
I will.
I'll try to get on the computer so I can get it off the chat.
Okay.
In a minute. Thanks, Michael.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting the way the audience reacted. I don't know if you noticed that.
There it is, folks. Yeah, David, go ahead, brother.
That skit reminded me of a picture I saw a while ago. It was one of my favorite pictures. There was this guy standing there, and a rock hits him in the back of the head, just a small rock. And he gets all mad and turns to God, and he's like, God, why? And what he didn't realize was God was standing there with his arms spread out, taking the rest of the rocks that were flying. And he's like, sorry, son, I missed one. And that just reminds me of God's protection on us.
Amen. Give me just a second here. I'm trying to get Malcolm fixed up here before I forget it. All right, Malcolm, there it is. Okay. All right, anybody else? All right, Rian, you're up.
Thank you, Michael.
Yeah.
That's very kind of you. Hello, everyone. Hello, brothers and sisters. Yeah, good to see you all. I have a question that Andrea sent us this morning, and I asked Michael if we could chat about it today, and we could really use some help in answering this. So I'll just read the message to you and then we can chat about it. She says, hello, I need some guidance if you have time. My youngest brother is reading Sovereign God and he's at chapter 5 now, but he told me he feels that chapter 3 is nonsense. So chapter 3 is God's sovereignty in world order, I think, and that's where David goes into a lot about the Bible codes and prophecies and things like that about America and all sorts of things like that. She said he sent her a long voice note, but she summarized it at the bottom, so she's not sure how to answer. If we can point her to resources that she can send to him, or I'll make notes as we chat about that now. She doesn't want to teach. And she doesn't want to give the wrong information either. The only information that she ever had about the Bible codes is from Chuck Meisler. You guys will be familiar with some of the stuff that he did on that. So here is the main questions that he had, Andrea's brother. He said, the Old Testament was never written for the Western world. It was written for the Israelites. The Bible is their interpretation of their world back then. it was never written as an answer book, but there are a lot of wisdom in there. It's basically a historical family timeline book. So that's the one kind of objection, right? That the Old Testament is not, it's not for today. Then he says, I can't see how a book as the Bible can predict the future. And remember, he's already read the first couple of chapters of Sovereign God. So he's, Dave has already gone through numerics and things like that. So he says, the Bible was never made to predict the future. I agree it's a book inspired by the Holy Spirit, but there's still a big human aspect to it. And because it has not been written for the Western world, I do not see why there would be codes hidden in it. So that's the objection, I suppose, about the codes. Then there's two more. He says, in the New Testament, everything happened very publicly and persecution happened very publicly. So there's no point for hidden codes. In my opinion, it's not a biblical concept. And then the last bit, he says, I know that there are specific predictions about Jesus in the Bible and the end times. I can't see how this guy, how David found his marriage date in there. It's far-fetched. So that is, that's the gist of it. I suppose there's a lot more in the voice language we didn't get.
Well, it sounds to me like he didn't read it. He just skimmed through it. That's what it sounds like. Because if he'd have read it, he'd have understood a little bit more about it. Go ahead. That's just my take on it right off the cuff. Go ahead, Pat.
Actually, it sounds like a religious spirit to me. And unfortunately, you're not going to that spirit cannot be convinced. I had one of my first pastors that I was involved with in First Church. He said he had a little saying that I thought was very, very good, and he said, "Some things are better felt than telt." And that spirit is a spirit a spirit of pride and arrogance that is already judging what it's hearing. So anyway, I don't want to get involved in that whole thing, but I don't think there's really an answer that you can give that spirit. I think you have to you have to go right to binding and loosing the truth. And unfortunately, I think the only way that person will receive truth is when they experience the truth they think they're resting on now, giving up on them or failing on them. So that's just kind of my observation. Back to, if I could, the reason I jumped out there on that, because that's exactly what this is happening with this gentleman I met at work that I've been talking with. I'll bring up certain things, and he already has a pat, I shouldn't use that. He already has a preconceived opinion about that based upon, you know, what he's been taught type thing. So, and I've noticed that is functioning there. And I realize that, you know, you can't really combat that type of mentality or banter back and forth knowledge, because it doesn't have any effect. I think we really have to come under that and pray to knock the legs of the power of that thinking out by binding the spirits utilize that. Anyway, that's all I had to say.
There's 12 pages in that chapter. There's 33 verses in that one chapter alone that David backs up what he says. So I believe Pat's right. Or whoever brought it up, he's got a religious spirit. All he wants is his theology that he already knows. And if it goes against his theology, which apparently it does, he's not going to receive it. Doesn't look like. But anyway, let's see what everybody else has to say. Go ahead, Malcolm. I guess you were next. I'll get you next, Judith. You may begin, Malcolm.
Oh, I unmuted my, good, okay. I was speaking, I was unlike God in which he rises up really and speaks, but nobody's listening, but I just muted myself. Anyway, Ivan Penn, as you know, as we've all, learned, he was putting 18 hours a day into his effort to study the underlying numeric sequences in both the Hebrew and the Greek text. The fact is, it's a mathematical relationship in those languages, and you can take the whole spiritual element out of it. It's simply mathematics. It's simply what those characters are and what they, what you can do with that. It takes it out of the scholarly people's. The scholarly people can't deal with that. A mathematician could if he put time into it. And Ivan Panin had that kind of had a background that could deal with those kind of mathematical relationships. To deny that those underlying patterns exist, would, if you're going to deny that, then you're going to have to do, at least get a computer program to disprove, the many, many years of Ivan Panin's work, or do it by hand like he did. So to just dismiss it out of hand is really arrogant, because what that tells me is that there was no homework done to disprove what Ivan Panin discovered in the text. It's not all that complicated. Just look at Genesis 1 verse 1. So, it's all through the Bible that way. So anyway, it's a mathematical thing. If somebody wants to argue with it, then they need to take up mathematics and do their homework like Ivan Panin did.
Amen. Amen. Angelica, that's the verse that came to my mind too when Breon was telling us these things. It's 1 Corinthians 10 and 11. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And Anna Stewart said, praise God, he got to chapter 5. Most of them stop at chapter 2. As you said, 3, but most of them they have problems with chapter 2. Yep, Missy, that's the spirit of skepticism. And then Angelica says, scripture is not interpreted by human intelligence. It must be given. That's right. Pray for God to give him the gift of word of knowledge. Amen. Open his mind that, Lord, we just break the power of that religious spirit off of him. And thank you, Lord, for opening up his spiritual eyes and ears to hear and see the true gospel. That's what God's fixing to do, folks. He's fixing for those who truly love the Lord. He's going to shake that garbage out of them. And then he's going to, then they're going to run for the truth. They're going to go after the truth. Go ahead, Andrew. Oh, I'm sorry, Judy, can't get it. Go ahead, Andrew.
Okay, yeah, well, it, is this a Christian person saying this? Like,
it's a good question.
Is he, how old is this person anyway? Do you know how old he is, or?
So he's young. I don't think he's yet in his 30s. I can't remember, but I know that she's the oldest. So her brothers are all younger than her. So not maybe just touching 30 or not yet, because we're a few years older than all of them even. I don't think he's a Christian by what we would necessarily measure that by, but I do think broad strokes, as in, you know, believe in the name of Lord Jesus and you will be saved kind of thing, like that sort of.
Do you think maybe he knows who the father of all lies is in his Christian knowledge? You know, it's what I'm trying to get at here is, that a Christian is not supposed to accuse someone of being a liar, basically. And how many years have been put into this by not just Ivan Panin, but other people knew about this before him too, you know? And was this whole 50 years of work a lie to this person, so that someone would dismiss it and with one conversation? I even think there's an example on the video that some people try to interpret some scriptures and say, "See, it doesn't work," you also have to have discernment. I forget exactly where it was, but you have to have discernment in accordance to how a word could mean two things, you know. I was told once that a scripture verse can speak twice, you know, and even the words can speak twice, because even a single word, depending on the context of the verse, you know, would be a good thing or it would be a bad thing. So the point I'm just trying to get across is if this is a saved person or if he's just even a carnal Christian, he should know that Christians are not supposed to lie. A Christian is not supposed to be with the father of all lies. He's supposed to be with his real father. And a Christian is a person who doesn't necessarily repeat lies either, you know, and does his own work to see if this is true, you know. And the scholarly person is one who spends a lot of time even looking at someone else's scholarly stuff, you know. He wouldn't dismiss some of the stuff he learned in school about math or computer science. And why would he dismiss this so quickly, especially seeing that this is supposed to be a person who's classified as a son of God, a son of God, you know. That's the angle I would take it at. You know, you can even appeal to this person, even if he's not a Christian, and say, well, you're not supposed to be a liar. You know, no one's supposed to be a liar. Liar is a very serious item, because you're going with a different father here. And that's what I get out of it anyway. There are lies and falseness, and this could be a confusion for him too, because the serpent gives you false direction, false prophecy, false teaching, false doctrine, you know, has to be stepped on. If some of the things of the past were stepped on when they were supposed to be stepped on, we wouldn't be in this problem right now. We wouldn't be in this so many divisions and factions and variations. And I don't know if I could class this as a high problem. I just kept class this as a problem for this individual just because he might not know, you know, he has a sin of ignorance here. He needs to investigate it more if he's saved. Yeah, should always give a benefit of the, I don't like to say benefit of the doubt, but give a Christian's speaking some benefit, because he's not supposed to be an avid liar and just make things up, you know. So I think there's a little bit of slander there, and I pray that this person would realize that he shouldn't be operating in slander. There's been a lot of slander. There's still slander around. We've had years of it with Trump, and we've had years of it even before that with the other president, Obama. You get what you get. And God still works it all out for us. In Jesus' name, I pray for this person, for him to be granted repentance. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Gina.
I'm just kind of going to add on just what everyone else has said. I agree with what everyone has put in the chat and what they've said. And the first thought that came to my mind was, you know, people who don't, you know, knowing now that he may not even be a saved person or that kind of thing is like, you know, people sometimes have a tendency to attack and criticize things they don't understand, to find what's wrong with it, with their own understanding. This is what they don't understand. So with their understanding, it's false, and you know, it's out there. And I just remember when I first read that, I didn't have a full understanding of, you know, the Bible code and all that stuff, but I saw the numbers and all the patterns and all that stuff. And I just said, okay, well, this looks like it's, you know, it's pretty phenomenal. The odds, I mean, just that little thing of it and putting it all aside until I had more understanding. And so that just makes sense that, you know, the person just doesn't have the understanding, and he won't until God gives him the grace for that. And yeah, we just need to pray for him and people like that. Somebody told me one time when I gave them that book and they were talking about it later, they really grabbed hold the first chapter and everything, but it started getting a little deep for them. It was, they kind of compared it to, this was like a college grad material and you're still in high school kind of thing. It was way over their head, some of it, because they weren't spirit filled and they just didn't have that light yet, you know? So for people who don't have understanding, it's just like, what did I just read? Kind of thing. So that's all I wanted to share on that.
Amen. I tell you what, I tell a lot of people that I know don't have the spiritual knowledge, is just, look, if you run across something that you don't understand, put it on the shelf for the time being, but read the book. There'll be a lot in there that you'll understand and will grasp. But what you don't understand, don't worry about it. Just put it up there on the shelf. God will open it up to you when it's time. Go ahead, Stephen. Thank you, Julie.
Yeah, I got myself unmuted. There's two different chapters. I'm not sure which chapter he's talking about, because he said chapter 3, which is the sovereignty of God in world order. But what he's describing, his conflict was more chapter 2, which is God's sovereignty in creating the scriptures, which is where the numerics come in. So I'm not sure which chapter he had had contentions with, but the way it described, he sounds like it's more with chapter 2. If it's with chapter 3, maybe his concern is that, well, we got this Biden administrator, and aren't we supposed to have Trump, and what's all the stuff going on with that? And it doesn't seem like God's in control, but we're just in the middle of something that hasn't finished playing out yet in that one. If it's chapter 2, I don't know that it's terribly important if someone agrees with everything in the sovereign God over chapter 2. There's other paths you can get to find that the scripture is authentic and it's genuine and it's written by God and it's without error. This is, numerics is not the only way you can get there. I have a friend who has done a great deal of work on the New Testament, trying to put together all the various different manuscripts. He's got a website, and he's compiled all the various different manuscripts, and he doesn't believe in numerics at all. I talked to him about it. He didn't believe in it. But in his analysis of the ancient manuscripts, he goes and figures out which is probably the most likely the original Greek text based on all the various different ones and all this data he has together. It's pretty elaborate work that he's done. And when you look at his analysis, it almost every time lines up with the numerics. So I told him that. I says, well, you maybe don't believe in numerics, but numerics seems to agree with your work. Everything that you've come to a conclusion, whether this word is this word or that word, and you come to this conclusion, it's this word versus that word. Numerics comes to the same conclusion almost every time. But you don't necessarily need that. I mean, as long as you see that the word is written by God and he's sovereign over it. Yeah. How you get to, you, as long as you're trusting the word, it doesn't have to be, you know, through numerics that you trust it. That's a plus, but you don't have to have that to see the word is genuine and it's from God and you can trust it.
Amen. I gave that book to a Plains people doctor. Some of you may not know who the Plains people are. They are form of the, they're split off of the Amish and they're all under the law. I gave her that book and told her next time I came to see her, I said, what'd you think about that book? This is a medical doctor now. She caters to everybody out there in the Plains people. And she said, well, I had to throw it away. I said, what? She said, yeah, that numerology stuff. I said, ho, that's not numerology. That's numeric. There's a difference. And she said, well, it's all witchcraft to me. So I threw it away. I said, okay. But anyway, that's some of the brain power you get from religion. Go ahead. I think Missy had her hand up. Go ahead.
One thing that comes to me is the wisdom of God is foolishness to men. And, you know, what he said reminded me of somebody that I know that has a very intellectual, argumentative college education. And this person probably has a college education, and it's coming out of that mentality is the mentality of what a lot of these kids have been taught in college, you know, that communist stuff, you know, and just very skeptical about stuff. So that's just my take on it. But, you know, the Lord's gonna, you know, the Lord knows who are his, and we pray that this one is one of the Lord's elect, and that when he pours out his spirit of repentance, he's gonna have a Paul on the road to Damascus encounter with the Lord, you know. So he's gonna see the light. In Jesus' name, amen. Great humbling.
Amen. All right, Sue or Judy?
I was just feeling the same way about what Julie had said, you know, that you know, those things that we don't understand, even the word of God, when we don't understand those things. I mean, when I first got into reading the word, I thought, I don't understand this. And the only thing that would help me is if I didn't get to study it myself, then I would have to put it on the shelf, like you were saying too. It's like, I don't throw the Bible away just because I don't understand a part of the Bible. You know, that's just like, but if the rest of the, like Sovereign God, it was the same thing. When I got into it, I the one thing that really made an impression to me, and it wasn't the numerics part, I didn't understand that, so I put it on the shelf. But the part that really impressed me and really showed me that, hey, this guy knows what he's saying, and helped me to receive, was that part where he said about how God spoke to, how he spoke to Satan. Now see the, you know, he was saying, now see this guy, you know, I'm going to, you know, he was in, God was in control. A lot of denominations, they'll say, oh, you got to be afraid of devil. He's the one that's coming against you. You got to, you know, their focus has been on the devil more than, I mean, charismatics even, their focus is more on the devil and when, instead of God's control. And that just really showed me how, you know, and it kind of fit with the rest of the scriptures, the rest of the chapters, that God is in control, you know, and how he does things. I don't under, you know, I felt like, I don't understand how he does things, but my goodness, this is what I needed to see, you know, that he is in control, you know, and not focus on the devil. So, you know, it, again, it's like, we have a choice to receive what's being said. And if we do see, if he understands the rest of the chapters, what does it matter if he doesn't understand the numerics? Doesn't matter. Because if he's really seeing what's being said in Sovereign God and seeing that it lines up with the Word of God, then that's what he needs to hang on, not on something that he doesn't understand. So I, you know, anyway, praise the Lord. I pray, Lord, that you get this one to see the truth, that it doesn't matter what he doesn't know, but what matters is what he sees in your word and the truth in your word, because that's what really counts. So help him to see that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Let's see. I believe Mariana or Isaac, whoever that is. Go ahead.
Hey there, Michael. How are you?
Hey, Isaac.
Hey. I was going to mention something, but kind of the opposite spectrum. Funny. I know a fella who I known him, almost my whole life. And I was never really like friends. Like, I was friends with him through other people, right? And, you know, we all kind of grew up together and acted wild and got in trouble. Anyways, years later, we're all doing our thing. You know, he's in living his life, and I'm living my life. And some of my other buddies probably about a few months ago and whatnot, like sending me pictures of him and saying, man, look, his name's Caleb. And saying, man, look at Caleb. He's really went on the far deep end. Like, he's got pretty depressed. And he began to like start cross dressing and everything. I'm gonna say all this to give a testimony, or else, like, you know, I probably wouldn't do it that way. But man, I tell you, he was looking pretty bad, posting some weird, you know, quotes and stuff on Facebook, which those were also sent to me. We don't have Facebook, but anyways.
Hey, Isaac.
Yeah.
Yeah, your audio is in and out. I don't know if you've got that on speakerphone or not, but it's not that good. I can understand a lot of it, but a lot of it I can't understand what you're saying.
That's okay. If I need to, I can, maybe next time. It's okay. It was really a good blessing, but you know, I might be dropping in and out, so that's okay.
You can try it if you want to.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of hills in New Mexico, but let me know if you don't hear me, and maybe I'll just have Geneva give the testimony. But are we still good?
Yeah, go ahead. Quick.
Okay.
Pause.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So basically, he was out in the deep end, this friend I knew through other people, and he got into like cross-dressing, become depressed, thinking about suicide and whatnot. He had something drastic happen to him. One of his cousins passed away, his first cousin, who this guy, they hated each other because his cousin had relationships with some of his girlfriends. So he, I guess he never did forgive him. Anyways, and, you know, long story short, his cousin just passed away, and then I guess Caleb just totally forgiven him, just was, you know, being now at such a sober moment. And he said, you know what the word says, forgive, ye shall be forgiven, release, ye shall be released. That's a powerful statement. Anyways, he told me, so I tried to get his number, but his number has changed. Then I text my buddy and said, hey, get me his number, because my buddy said he did a total 180. And I said, well, get me his number. Well, my buddy did not get me his number. And so out of nowhere, one day on Snapchat, Caleb called me and I answered. He said, man, I've been trying to get a hold of you and I haven't known how. I said, what's going on? We talked for a long time. He said, God came in my room and he said, I heard the Lord come in my room. I could hear the swoosh of his raiment and the anointing fall on my head. And he said, and Caleb said, he said, Jesus, show me yourself. Well, he looked in the mirror and he seen himself. And I said, well, that's because that's what you're supposed to see, Jesus in the mirror. And I said, he's in you, man. And he was talking. He said, you know, God told me to call you. He said, I need to talk to you. I said, well, praise the Lord. So I gave him the Sovereign God book. And he's told me that every morning at 2 o'clock, God wakes him up to make him go read Sovereign God. And he says it's the most deep book he's ever read. And that is just changing his life.
Amen.
That's it, man. So praise the Lord.
Awesome. Awesome testimony. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. Glory to God. You better do what Jesus said. There you go, Rion.
Can I pray for him? And then I think.
Yeah.
That should probably be. It should probably be enough, because what I'm realizing listening to everyone is that sorry, Andrew, I'm jumping in front of you here, but apologies. Andrew had his hand up. He can go first. I didn't see that.
No, I was just wondering if you can repeat that portion that he said about the Old Testament there.
Yeah, I can do that. Give me a second. He said the Old Testament was never written for the Western world. It was written for the Israelites, and the Bible is their interpretation of their world back then. It was never written as an answer book, but there are a lot of wisdom in there. It's basically a historical family timeline book.
Well, If he was to read Jeremiah 25 from the 15th verse to the very end, the 38th verse, and it has to do with all the nations that are in the uttermost corners. And in another reference, it says all the kingdoms of the world. And no, it's basically talking about the wrath of God and how it's going to come down. And there's still going to be even people there who are shepherds and principal men crying out to the Lord. And there's not going to be any answer for them. And of course, it's a historical reference that hasn't happened yet. And it's supposed to happen on the last days. It's never happened with the, like they mention a bunch of nations in here, but he's saying all the nations along with these nations. So how can he make that assumption that it's something only for the Jewish people in the past? Seeing as when Christ was there in the Gospels, he brought some Jewish people into the new covenant. So Israel does continue, but it's a spiritual Israel after that. So this is probably one of the most easiest ones to discern. That's why I mentioned Jeremiah 25, because this didn't happen in all of history. It didn't happen through the Old Testament. it's going to happen in the future. So his statement there is incorrect, if you could show him that. And that's if he's a Christian, of course, because it might get him interested in how is this guy Jeremiah so many years in the past, even before Christ, get to that conclusion to write this down, that's of something that hasn't really even happened yet. So I would pose that question to him.
Amen. Okay, Ryan.
What we realize so more and more, and we always do, is that it's not about having the right answers and everything, or having, you know, being a Pharisee or a Sadducee or someone that's very versed in all of this and having all the answers ready, because it's not us that do the convincing in any case. That's what people don't see. That's a point David is making in Sovereign God. He's making the point that God is sovereign, that he is in control. So we must have faith, and we must let God do the work by using our faith, which we will do for his name's Vanner. I'll pray for him now, and we'll do that. And the second thing he's doing is he's saying that the scriptures is the word of God. He's just proving it over and over, and that if you believe that the scriptures is the word of God, then all of it is true. And then he shows examples, obviously, in his life and all the testimonies and things, and all of us have got that. But if you say you're a Christian, perhaps like he is saying, but you do not believe that the scriptures is the word of God, then you cannot argue with that person by giving him more scriptures, because he doesn't believe that the scriptures are the word of God and that they inspired and that they're all true and all of it. He won't have that conviction in your heart, in his heart, like we do. If you come to me with the scripture and says, no, but actually this is what the Bible says, then I know it's not the Bible that's saying that, it's God that says, this is the truth. I'm 100% convinced of it. And then I'll be quiet, and I won't be able to argue against that. Like you said, Michael, David's got in that chapter 33 verses to back up what he says. One should be enough. He's got 33 that says the same thing over and over, that we know that, yes, this, the whole Bible, the sum of the word is the truth. If you add to it, if you take away from it, he will add to you the plagues. He'll take away your name from the book of life. But if you don't have that as a foundation, then it's no point arguing with someone and throwing more scriptures at him. So what we do is we have to fight in the spirit, right? Our fight is not against flesh and blood. It's not against him and his education or his upbringing or the doctrines of all of that. All of those things are all works of the enemy, works of it, that's in the spirit. It's nothing against him. So I want to pray for him, and if you've got anybody that you want to add a name into that, just add those names in, that maybe has that book or something. So Lord, I thank you so much, Father, for the brethren here and the knowledge of your word and the truth, Father. Lord, thank you for this question. I bring Vanner to you today, Lord, not just him but the other brother as well, which I don't know his name now, Lord. I come against the spirit of skepticism, and I come against the spirit of unbelief. And Lord, I come against the spirit, this religious spirit, Lord, and I bind it in the name of Jesus, because it's not us that's going to do the convincing. Father, you are the heart changer. And that's the only way that he would come to the knowledge of the truth, is that if you do the work in him. And I ask you, Lord, now, and we have faith, and I know that you're going to do this, Lord, you're going to work in his heart. You're going to change his heart. And we bind those spirits in the name of Jesus long enough so that you could change his heart and he can read the rest of the book, and his eyes will be opened to the true book, which is the Bible. And you'll know that all of it is the truth, and all of it is applicable to us today, tomorrow, forever. And it has not changed, and it will never change. And it'll always be be the right book. Father, I come against arrogance in the name of Jesus, and I bind it. Bind it long enough, Lord, so that you would be able to show him the truth. I ask you, Lord, to grant him repentance, to give him a new heart, a heart that is not stony, but that is soft. That's a flesh heart, Lord. We thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you would give him that gift of knowledge, the gift of understanding. Let us be quick to be corrected. Let him be quick to be corrected. Let him be quick to understand and quick to accept the truth. And we just rebuke this, the lies that he's been believing, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, that those lies would just fall off him in the name of Jesus. They would never have a hold of him again, but that he would be open, his heart would be open to the truth. And all of us, Father, I pray that every single lie that we have ever heard would fall off and would not be in us anymore, Lord. We renew our minds, Lord, with the spirit of truth. And help us, Lord, to recognize that. Let the truth resonate with him. Let it ring like a bell that he would know that he's the truth. And when everything that's not the truth, Lord, would just fall away. I thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your scriptures and your word that is the truth. And I pray that, Father, in the name of Jesus, we know you're going to do this, Lord. We know that it's already done. We thank you for that, Lord. We look forward to that testimony too. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we just took our faith up with Rion declaring we believe that this guy's going to come into the knowledge of the truth at some point in his walk. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. All right, Malcolm, go ahead, brother.
I agree with that prayer. Rion and Michael, Lord, I also want to thank you that you've dealt with these folks we've been praying for here, and you have broken through. Thank you for that. I just wanted to say I've talked to probably a lot of us here have done this. Talked to different Buddhists and Hindus and people that know their stuff, are well versed in Hinduism and well versed in Islam and whatnot. And one thing I sometimes can get frustrated because, like, for instance, a very good friend of mine who is a Islamic, I said, well, I said, Isaac was the chosen, for the inheritance. And he said, no, Ishmael was the chosen son. He said, the Bible's wrong on that point. So then you have to back up and I heard somebody say this, and that is that you have to agree on your source of authority. What is authoritative for you? You have to agree on that to really be able to discuss something meaningfully. Because otherwise, if your source of authority is different, then there's really no point in discussing something like that. Because everybody's mind's going to be made up, and in this case, it's not just, the Bible is authoritative. It's some more, basic stuff as far as what, how do we deal with the Bible and that kind of thing. So, but it is frustrating to deal with people who, there are many Christians who accept the authority of Scripture, and then they add somebody else's writings. So they all also accept as authoritative, or they'll accept the teachings of a denomination. Say the denomination holds to certain doctrinal, if you're over in England, or doctrinal if you're American points. They'll take those churches' doctrinal points, and then they go from there. Basically, it's back to the paradigm. You start with the paradigm, and then you look for scriptures to to back up your paradigm. So, but it's very frustrating for me to talk with people who acknowledge that scripture is authoritative, and yet what push comes to shove is this other idol that they have that actually is a higher authority, and they will also always defer to this idol, whether it's somebody else's writings or the church's teachings or whatever. Ultimately, what is not scripture is their authority, and that's how they must interpret scripture, through this outside authority. So basically, it boils down to, is Jesus Lord? If Jesus isn't Lord, then you can't really discuss things with them, because they don't accept Jesus as being Lord. They have another God there.
Amen. All right, go ahead, Isaac.
Hey, well, first off, thank you guys for praying. Thank you, Rion. I really appreciate that. That was a really good prayer, and I think exactly what was needed. Yeah. I was just going to say, you know, what I noticed something in my own life is that, that it's sometimes a bigger testimony when the Lord does the work in their life rather than we. And that's grace. That's grace. And that, you know, increases our measure of grace we've been getting. I did hear David say, you gotta give grace to get grace. And, you know, like you said, Brianna, break down that stony heart. You know, that's what's going to happen. And that's the biggest testimony for your faith. And increases our faith. But now, changing the subject real quick. My buddy's also in a church right now. I got into a church. I think it might be Pentecostal, I'm not sure. And so I've been really careful with him, trying to handle him as gentle as possible. So y'all just pray for him, because I know the Lord will show him what he needs to show him. And I'm praying, my prayer for him is that he outgrows that church. And he'll be in here. So I'm, you know, Lord's put in my heart just to let him work. And that's what I'm going to do. But second off, this one's for me. Would y'all, Michael, I'm in a trial of my faith right now. And my faith, you know, the Lord broke that spirit of infirmity was on me the other day. But I'm telling you, I think Satan's trying to mess with me. He's telling me all kinds of different ideas, just wild ideas, and I'm casting down. But you know, and I'm going to continue to cast them down and believe. But Michael, I don't know, I still believe, so maybe we can just, Father will find me approved to my faith, or heck, we can just worship right now, worship the Lord, and keep on worshiping, or just worshiping, thank him for healing me.
Okay. I didn't understand what the infirmity was, but I understand it is a spirit of infirmity. you kind of broke up there. Did you hear it, Missy?
Yeah, he was saying about what we prayed for him on Tuesday, and felt better all of a sudden. It's just been a battle. The enemy's been throwing all kinds of stuff into his mind about it.
Okay. All right. Okay. That's easy.
Yeah, it's been crazy. Go ahead.
Yeah. What that is once you get here, that devil will go out there and do a wheelie, and he'll come back and test your faith. And that's God. God's doing it to keep your faith. Have to endure. We just rebuke it in the name of Jesus right now. We rebuke that thing. You don't have any cause to be there in Jesus' name. He still has faith. You got to go. So go in the name of Jesus. Father, we just praise you that Isaac is healed, delivered, and set free from his infirmity. And devil, don't come back, because he's just going to smack you right in the face when you do with that Jesus fist. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Father. Isaac is healed, delivered, and set free by the blood of Jesus. Amen. It's done, brother.
We all agree.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you.
All right. Now you can jump up and down. Next stop you make, just jump up and down like you did the other night.
Well, I'll just start clapping right now. Thank you, Father. Yeah. I'm healed. Can we pray first? Satan, you got nowhere to go. I don't
see that's
that.
Right.
Amen.
Amen, brother. Okay. All right, Angelica, go ahead.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Ooh, I just feel God's power. Thank you, Lord.
Yes,
thank
Lord.
You,
healed by the stripes of Jesus, Lord God. We bind any double-mindedness, any doubt, unbelief, evil reasoning. We bind those lying symptoms, Father God. We cast it off in the name of Jesus, and we just thank you, Father God, that it's done in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. And I wanted to say something really quick. I don't think this is in the realm of teaching concerning an answer for the brother for Rayon, but you can correct me if I'm wrong.
No problem. I will. Go ahead. Go ahead, Angelica. I'm just kidding.
Something that's real effective, you know, with people with intellect, because, you know, I used to have that same problem, is just meeting them with a heartfelt answer, you know, meeting them on a very basic level. I remember, you just consider your own, you know, how God dealt with you and how he just blew all of your theology out of the water, you know, like he did for, you know, for every single one of us. And how we realized that, you know, it was our thoughts that kept us from the truth. And when we were able to forsake our thoughts and be open-minded to what God had to say, then we could receive more. So I would, you know, and I would tell people, I mean, I was just very bold, and I'd just tell people, look, have you ever been wrong? You ever been wrong about something? And they, of course, everyone says, well, yeah. I said, did you know you were wrong when you believed you were right? No, you know, okay, well, this might be one of those things. So don't be quick to make a decision. And, you know, I say something simple, like, if you think you know the answer, God, why would God give you the answer? But if you ask in earnest and are willing to say, perhaps I don't know everything, perhaps you'll get the answer from God. And that would just really just soften them and say, yeah, that's real simple reasoning, simple counsel, right? I mean, most people can receive something like that. So perhaps that could be a simple answer if you choose to answer.
Amen. You just never know when you can grab a hold of somebody and get them to listen to you. What you can say, some, you know, they might listen to me, but they wouldn't listen to you, or they might listen to you and not listen to me. And that's why the Lord tells us to sometimes to pray the Lord of Harvest, send somebody around to Rayon, get your hands off that woman. What's the matter with you? but anyway, I lost my train of thought. There's too much fighting going on. All right, Pat, go ahead.
when Rayon was talking about, you know, what the guy was saying and everything, and the thought, I started chuckling because I think the Lord just threw it into my mind, but I was going to say is maybe just a heartfelt, like Angelica was saying, maybe a heartfelt question to him would be, is there anything that you don't know? Is it, maybe we could start with that. Is there anything you don't know about God? But whatever. That would be a contentious type of thought. But anyway, I wouldn't do that.
I've done that before, Patty. It don't work. It just does not work, brother.
Sometimes it's kind of fun to try it, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Waterboarding. Okay, Dave. Go ahead, Geneva.
So I kind of had a question because I was talking to Marissa about this, and we're always real careful about not sharing, you know, the gospel, but I guess careful about, I guess, because we think about too, like if they don't have the ears to hear and God hasn't blessed them with that understanding, then nothing we say can go through unless the Lord allows that, unless the Lord has already granted that for that person for them to understand. So I guess for me, it's kind of like something that Isaac said, you know, like the Lord will give you the words to speak in that time. And if you feel the Holy Spirit, you know, lead you to speak, then you'll speak. And I guess like me and Marissa, we always kind of talk about that, because sometimes I feel like I'm facing a situation with friends, you know, other females or whatever, that it's, I want to say something, and I know in my heart, like what I feel, and I know, you know, what the Lord has shown me, but then I'm like, God, I don't know if they have the ears to hear. And if it's meant for me to say something, make it happen and trigger my heart in that moment when I'm supposed to speak. And I know you'll do it. And there hasn't been a time that God has not heard that prayer and has made a situation happen. And I knew this is it. And the Lord has blessed me to say something. But then there's also been times where situations never come up. And when that happens, I feel like a lot of times it has to be through my actions and the way that I show the love of Jesus. And I guess how I go about treating that person. And two, just praises, like something I was telling Marissa is, you know, we can always outwardly praise the Lord all the time. You know, that's not gonna. And so, you know, I have friends that are unsaved, and, you know, I'll just be like, man, Lord is good. And they'll be like, what do you mean? I'll just be like, well, you know, he's done this for me and he's done that for me. I was like, and praise the Lord, like he's doing something in Morgan, and Morgan was praying the other day and we were talking about this, and like, we just go on, you know. And I want to show them in a way, like what I have is something that only Jesus can give, and I want them to want that. So I guess I feel like, I don't know. And I'm still kind of in a situation, like I get caught in a situation a lot where I'm like, dang it, like I want to say something, but Lord, I'm not going to speak unless you don't want me to speak. So I'm going to wait for you. And I don't know. I felt the need to maybe say that, but yeah, that's it.
Well, I like your response is to ask the Lord. And when you ask the Lord, he'll do it. Like you said, he's done it every time for you, and he'll do it every time for us too. But most of the time, what gets in the way is ourself. You know, we want to justify what we know with what they exactly know. And you're exactly right. We need to let the Holy Spirit do this. That's a good way to do it. All right, Angelica, go ahead.
I just want to share with sister. I apologize because I forgot her, Geneva. I don't know how long you've been in the Lord, but when I first came to the Lord, I'm telling you, I was in my word. I was on fire. I was listening to teachings, and it never crossed my mind like to, of course I have more wisdom now, but it never crossed my mind to, like, there's a lot of people, I realize that a lot of people just, they don't want to say anything about what God has done for them. Right. But it never crossed my mind like that I shouldn't say anything. I don't know why, but and God used it, right? But I was working as a medical coder at the time, and I was working in the office. I didn't care if anyone asked me anything. If you asked me anything in any remote way, I was going to find a way to talk about Jesus. I was going to find a way to say what the Bible says. I was going to find a way to express a form of something that the scripture said, even in a way that you know, would seem as if it didn't have to do with the Lord, but was faith. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, I don't know. The Lord used it. I mean, so people obviously knew, if you're going to talk to me, you got to be ready to hear something, like, you know.
that's a good word.
But, you know, it was like, it was very freeing, because I think a lot of Christians, they really, you know, because of the whole work world where Jesus is not allowed, God is not allowed, faith is not allowed, I think it was very freeing for me to not have that fear, you know, about, oh God, what if someone not going to believe me, yada yada. And then, you know, I learned that, okay, it's when the Lord says, you know, some things are not effective, some things are not effectual, some things are too much. But I always, like, when I would listen to people, I would always find a way to say, you know, as people are just talking about their issues or whatever, I say, you know, I remember when the Lord, you know, I had that issue and I had unforgiveness, or I'd always put myself in that bad light, right? And, you know, just kind of down talking on myself about all the wrong that I did and the issue. If I could relate, if I had a testimony concerning that issue, and I'd say, and this is what God said to me, and this is what I did, and God healed me, you know, and he did this, and he removed that from me, and he fixed this situation, the money or relationship wise or whatever. I would just always find a way to bring the Lord in it. And I think the Lord really honored that at the time. And it was just the supernatural boldness that was on me. So that's just what I wanted to share, because I think so much, you know, I think, you know, when your heart's on fire for God, there's nothing wrong with sharing that. But I do think that to some degree, there is a danger where we become fearful of man and become fearful of confessing what we know and have experienced in the Lord. So, we talk Jesus all day long, you know what I mean? But when it comes to a specific message, certainly, you know, for a particular individual, yeah, I you know, listen for the Lord. But when I was doing that, I was very tactful. I know it was the gift of the Holy Spirit to be tactful, to bring God into every situation. And that was a real blessing for me. So I just wanted to share that.
Amen. Thank you. That's right.
Appreciate that. All right.
All right, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
Well, I'm just really happy that this guy got to chapter 5, because we all know what it says in Luke 1:37. No word of God shall be void of power. And, you know, there are Christians out there who call themselves Christian, and they do want to have a respect for God. But I just kind of wonder, you know, if this person ever prays or anything. If this is a relative of a believer, then it would be probably a good idea to maybe just pray with this person to so that you could this family member who would be a related to this person would pour out a prayer that would maybe try to ignite God's grace for him, like to show me your love. Simple prayer, you know, because if there are Christians out there that they don't have any Bibles, and they'll still pray, okay. There's Catholic people, and there's other people that, you know, they don't have a Bible in their house. You know, it all depends on the Christian family too, you know, that they know about prayer. They have ancestry in it somewhere, you know, and they're in a spot where, they got all these dark spirits that hopped onto them, and they're into the, they have families that don't really have any scriptural context given to them at any time, and they might go to church for weddings, something like that, or for funerals. But if this person has someone in his family that could do a short prayer like that, God just might show up for this guy. Show me your love, Father. And it would ignite God's grace, I believe. If this person would cry out to the Lord, you know, he gets something where he knows he needs the Lord, and he cries out to the Lord. It's got to be through a power of prayer that will be answered, because it is wrong to try and hit them with knowledge. Even if you had all knowledge, there's the first four verses of chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, you know, and even if you can speak with tongues, you know, so wonderfully, and speak the English language with such great amount of knowledge, without any love in it, there's not going to come to be any increase. So it's love that brought us to where we are right now. So we need to depend upon the love of God in this case. Yeah. It is true, you know, like for some of the older people here, you know, when you're trying to get a point across to someone and they're not even saved yet, it's kind of a wrong thing to do. And it is going ahead of the Lord, and you got to just let him lead it on. I've heard of people who've cried out to the Lord because they were told by a Christian, oh, if something, you know, comes upon you or if something happens to you, just cry out to the Lord and you'll see what happens. You know, in that time of maybe a horrifying dream or something, then he'll at least know to cry out to the Lord. You know, if someone says, just pass that on to him, you know, like if he's a person that looks like he's going to be in trouble somewhere, if he knows that he can cry out to the Lord, just a simple message that someone can lay on to a person like that. You know, that's where, you know, grandma can give him a cookie after that or something. I don't know.
Amen. Amen. I think we got that horse down on the ground and stomped him in the dirt. It's all right. That's good. I learned a lot tonight. I know if somebody doesn't believe that the Bible is the Word of God, you know, that's a place to start praying right there. It needs to be saved. Yeah, Stephen.
I had a question for the group. The Bible talks about the covenant with many would be the beginning of the tribulation. And all the people that are wrong about everything with end times say that's a covenant with Israel, but they're wrong about everything else, so I don't believe that. I was wondering if a covenant with many might be Nisara Jisara. That seems like a covenant with many.
Could be.
Anybody has any ideas on that?
I can tell you this, that it ain't going to be long after that before the tribulation starts, according to what we know, you know. The anointing of the man-child is coming, and not long after the anointing, the tribulation is going to start. So it could be. I think, Stephen, I read this morning that Jisara and Nisara are going to be officially online in, I got so much rolling around in it right now. I think you're talking about July. So I don't know. But the RV is going to happen before that, I think. Go ahead, Matt.
We'll see, I guess.
Do what?
I said, we'll just see how it rolls out, yeah.
Yeah, we'll see how it rolls out. But we're going to know when the tribulation starts. The bride's going to know. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, I agree with David that, you know, this whole Jisara and Nisara thing, you know, at some point is going to turn on us. It's going to be a tool. All the mm-hmm. technologies that the devil is putting in place right now, the administration and Trump is going to use it to drain the swamp. But it is short-lived for the purpose because the tribulation has to come. The apostate mindset today still fears that tribulation because they haven't understood it. They, number one, like Rian's friend, they haven't understood the full grasp of the scripture and the Bible. They don't understand the God the Father orchestrated this whole created tribulation to bring us into the kingdom of freedom, to not only pull us out of the world, out of Egypt with the word of God, believing the word of God, but then took the wilderness and takes the wilderness to pull Egypt out of us and bring us and translate us into the kingdom, so that that threat that threatens the world, how did Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego and all those, they were living as slaves. They were slaves in their environment, but they were free. They were absolutely free. And obviously that's where God is taking us. And he will take us right through the tribulation, and it will have no effect. It will not bring us down. It will hone us and whiten us, because we'll stand in the purity of the life of Christ, which cannot be destroyed. But that was kind of, the problem is not the problem. The apostate mindset, which will be the people that are being delivered out of Egypt, will not understand the freedom, the freedom of that environment, that process where God uses that hammer and chisel to cut off the flesh and bring forth the life of Christ within us. So I agree with what Stephen's saying. That tribulation is going to be used, and this whole structure that's being established now will at some point be turned against us. It just won't have any effect on us. Amen.
But Rayon, thanks, Pat. As you know as well as I do, that any kind of a nirvana, they're talking now, the talking points, the talking heads now are saying that when this Tsar and Nassar hits the scene, that everything is going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine. They're going to be able to chase the money and arrest the thieves and da-da-da-da-da and on and on and on. But who's going to be in charge of it, you know? We know that the heart is continually wicked unless you've got the heart of Jesus. I believe Gisera and Nassara could very possibly be at the midpoint, at the point of, I don't know. I don't know. We might talk about that next time. We're out of time.
Hey, Rion. Catalysts.
Huh?
Maybe it's one of those catalysts that kind of help launch things.
Yeah. Absolutely. Where'd Rion go? There he is. Rion, close us out with prayer. You brought this stuff up. No. Love you, brother.
I'll close out the prayer if you like.
Yes, I'd love it.
Alrighty. Lord, I thank you, Father, for your word that is the seed that's inside of us, Lord, and that Christ in us is the hope of glory. And we ask you, Lord, that we would all behold Christ in the mirror more and more every day, and that we would not be like those who walk away and then forget what we saw in the mirror, Lord, but that we would continue to see that, Father. I thank you, Lord, for all the prayers that you've heard, and we know that you hear them and that you answer them, and all we need to do is have faith. I pray for each one of the brothers and sisters here, Lord, who have a similar banner in their life that's reading Sovereign God, or perhaps not reading it, or that we have already prayed for, Father, and we know that you've heard our prayers, Lord, and I bring each one of them to you as well. Lord, we thank you, Father, for your blessings on our life. your provision, with your care. And I thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Father, that we know that it is the truth. Thank you, Father, for Christ, that is the truth, the way, and the life, and that it become more and more in us every single day. I pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Okay, I've got, what's the biggest obstacle that hinders most people's walk for Tuesday night? This is a general question now. This is not what it does to you, what you, you know. But I bet you if we look and see, it'll be the same thing. All right. Thank you, Rion. Appreciate it. And thank you, everybody, for being here. Good night. We'll see y'all next time.
Good night, everybody.
God willing.